Friends, today we're going to be reading a story from the Gospel of Luke from that very first Easter. It's in the New Testament portion of the Bible, which tells us the stories of Jesus. And I'm going to invite us to prepare our hearts and minds with a time of silence followed by a prayer for illumination. So let's bow together. Lord of resurrection surprises, open our hearts this day to the presence of Jesus Christ. Erase our excuses for jaded doubts and unbelief. Give us courage to walk with Jesus and to continue seeking to recognize him present with us all along life's road. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Listen, friends, hear the word of God from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. This was on the first Easter Eve. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. It was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place here in these days?" And Jesus asked them, "What things?" Well, they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all of the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some of the women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but they did not see him." Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scripture to us?" That same hour, they got up and they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And then they told what had happened on the road and how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've always loved this Emmaus Road story, how a couple of disciples were traveling and Jesus comes alongside them and joins them in the journey. And they walk the whole 7 miles or more to their distance and their destination, talking with him but not really knowing that it's Jesus. And when they arrive at Emmaus, they invite him in. And then at table, he took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And all of a sudden, they could see. They knew him. They recognized him. And just like that, he vanished. I've always loved how Jesus was revealed to them in the breaking of bread. Dr. James Stewart, who was a great Scottish preacher, said, "These original Emmaus walkers were still living on the wrong side of Easter. They were still trapped in the darkness between Good Friday and the horrors of the crucifixion and the dawning light of Easter morn. They were still living in the shadows of the cross rather than in the light of the resurrection. Their eyes were downcast. Their hearts were heavy. And they were talking about the reruns of life with Jesus as if it were all now ancient history, a done deal, a failed venture. Listen how they shared their story. They shared with a whole lot of lost hope, with if-onlys, ands, and buts. What do you think about Jesus? Well, he was a good man. You know, religious surveys with nearly every age group conclude that people are attracted to Jesus, but when you ask them about the church, they have a whole different story. Even Mohandas Gandhi, who modeled peaceful resistance, securing the independence of India, though not a Christian, was a great admirer of Jesus Christ, and much of his philosophy came from reading the Sermon on the Mount on a daily basis. And when he was asked why he was not a Christian when he admired Jesus Christ so much, he answered something along these lines: because Jesus' followers are so little like him. People are nearly universally attracted to Jesus, but attraction to the church is a different story. Wolfgang Simpson refers to a survey taken in Amsterdam with young people, and he said 100% expressed interest in God, and 1% expressed interest in church. Friends, there's a lesson for us here, that any serious reformation of the church or great awakening that is to occur means that we don't have to make the church more attractive. We just need to make the church more like Jesus. The church can become more like Jesus by doing the things that Jesus did. After all, the church is the body, including the hands and feet of Christ. So in other words, the good news of Easter is that we are the body of Christ, the living Christ, and we are his body, not for ourselves, but for the world today. But still, Easter's no genuine celebration unless it touches the private wounds and the tragedies that are near at hand. To say that another way, Easter's not really good news until it comes home to our community and our church and our house and each of our hearts. That's the beauty of the Luke story. These two disciples trudging towards home, weary from the sadness of the loss of Jesus, devastated by his crucifixion. And when all is said and done, this is the story about the truth of Easter, and it belongs not only on the front page of the newspaper, but also somewhere nestled in the back in the neighborhood news, because these two were taking the sadness of their story, their experience, home. But it's a story of how the cosmic truths of Christ's resurrection wasn't just big for the universe, but it was big on a local level as well. The story goes, two otherwise unknown followers of Jesus were traveling that 7 dusty miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And as the camera pans directly across that scene, we see that the day is Easter. It's the first day of creation, the day God shattered the chains of evil and broke the icy grip of death by raising Jesus from the tomb. It's a day when human history took a shift on its axis. And on this day, every valley was lifted up and every mountain was made low. And the great highway of redemption appeared in the wilderness of human brokenness. And then as the camera moves in for a close-up, we realize that this Emmaus road is not a highway. It's just a village lane, a local street, if you will. And to these disheartened followers of Jesus, it's not yet Easter. It's just 3 days after the crucifixion of Jesus, just another day of the week in an unbroken string of days when life grinds on the way it always has. It may be the day of resurrection on the cosmic plane, but Easter has not yet come home into the heart of these two disciples. As they walk, as they talk, unexpectedly, a stranger catches up to them, a stranger with a face like all faces. We, as the readers, know, of course, that it is the risen Jesus, the bright and morning star of God's new day. But in the darkness of their grief and discouragement, those two disciples continue their conversation and include him in the conversation, but for some reason, they're not able to recognize him. For the resurrected Jesus, he is savoring life on Easter. New life has flowed into his body. He's taking pleasure in the slow pace of a walk and now joining with friends, even though they still don't recognize him. I think this is a powerful message that perhaps we have been forced to consider lately in our places of social isolation. Our normally fast-paced lives have been slowed to a near halting pace due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Like it or not, we've been given time out of time, to slow down the pace of our work and our recreation. It's an unexpected gift of Sabbath, which is a time for rest and renewal, and savoring the essence of life with those that we love. Now, you may tell me that this far into that isolation, it's also a time for pulling out your hair and losing your patience. But I hope you're finding deeper meaning than that. On the day of resurrection, Jesus chooses to take a slow walk with two disciples and to enter in and to enjoy their conversation. It seems like Jesus is just happy to be breathing and moving freely again. He's not back to performing miracles. He's just being fully alive with friends and sharing that experience in a slow walk towards Emmaus. This is the Savior of life, savoring life. Now, Cleopas and the other disciples start out slow of heart. Slow of heart and mind. But Jesus meets them where they are in their brokenness and their sadness and their backward-looking place of failed faith. He teaches them once more how his whole life was a fulfillment of the Scriptures, though they still don't see him for who he is. If we jump ahead to the end of the story, however, by the time they have reached Emmaus, those who were slow of heart now have burning hearts, hearts on fire with faith, and they find themselves not trudging back to Jerusalem, but rushing back to Jerusalem to share the good news with their friends. The Lord has risen. He has risen indeed. Easter has moved from a ripple on the far edge of the universe into the very center of their hearts and home. The Easter message has come alive. What happened? Well, one of the gifts of a slow walk is that it gives us time to savor the life we're living. Rather than blowing past it on the way to our next fast-paced item on our to-do list, these two disciples needed time to look, to really look at their guest. I have a friend who likes eye contact when we talk. If you're not used to looking somebody in the eye when you talk, it can be tough. And right now, with people in isolation, it can be especially hard because you have to be FaceTiming to even see one another at all. But when we're together, a conversation feels more alive and connected when we do look directly at each other, eye to eye. And this allows our body to affirm that we are truly tuned in, hearing with our ears and with our eyes. Well, for those Emmaus walkers, the guest in their home and at their table did something odd. He stood up and took the role of the host, even though he was the guest. And when he looked them in the eyes and he broke the bread and shared it with them, everything came flooding back to them. Sight, sound, taste, touch, a real awakening of their senses that allowed them to savor the living presence of the Savior at their table, in their home, and in their hearts. It's a moment of glad astonishment at the end of this walk with Jesus. Slow of heart becomes awakened and burning hearts. And in just a short span of time and a few short miles walking together, the two disciples realize that they are feeling more alive than they have ever felt before. The slow walk, the teaching reminders of Jesus, the sharing of broken bread draws them into a place of savoring this new life with a living Jesus. And that is at the heart of what Easter is all about. And just like that, they saw Jesus clearly right there with them at the table, alive and well. And then he was gone. Their burning hearts drive their feet to get up and to run back the 7-mile journey to find their friends and fellow disciples and to share with them that they have confirmed the suspected good news that the women had rumored earlier in the day. Then they told them what happened on the road, Luke narrates, and how he had been known to them through the breaking of bread. The road was more than a highway. To those first hearers, it was a symbol for early followers of Jesus of the whole Christian life. They were known as people of the way, people of the path, people of the road who followed Jesus' mission that was laid out for them. In fact, these early Christians were called by friends and enemies, like I say, the people of the way. In other words, they were road people. They came to be known as sojourners with Christ, travelers, followers of Jesus. Friends, the resurrection life comes home for us as the church sojourns down the way, down the ongoing road of mission, putting one foot in front of the other as we walk every day along the way of obedience to Christ and his gospel. As we work for peace in our families, seeking reconciliation in our towns, as we visit those who are sick and comfort those who are distressed, as we welcome the stranger, as we teach the faith to our children, as we speak the good news to those who do not know it, as we whisper encouragement to those who doubt, as we provide food for the physically hungry, and do thousands of everyday acts of loving kindness that make up the Christian life. It is here, along this road, that the risen Christ comes and joins with us, and we sense his living presence like never before. For those first Emmaus sojourners, it was in the midst of their journey home that life came alongside them. Living history unfolded right beside them in their midst, and it seemed as though they had been missing it. They had been caught up in the if-onlys and the what-ifs of life. And I wonder who of us has not stored up great hopes in our hearts, but then come to a point where everything about those hopes has come crashing down around us. We know this is life. It's inevitable. But the important point is that this story is not about life in general, but about hopes that were attached to God and centered in our expectations of how God would and will act for us in life situations. Is this happening for us? Or are we distracted by the if-onlys that are still holding us back? Or are we weighed down by so many concerns that we are missing the resurrection life unfolding right beside us? Missing life in our midst, missing the living word, missing the life that Jesus offers, missing his powerful presence calling us to the fullness of life here and now, calling us outward and onward into the world and into the future, into the mission and ministry of sharing this good news that we too have discovered and had reinforced on Easter. Close with the story. A family was going through the death and dying of their father, and a daughter shared this story. Her dad had been a proud man, a man who spent his days tilling the soil of a Carolina farm, and he spent all of his Sundays praising God for life and for seed and for family. A final bout with cancer took him to the hospital, never to come home again. And in the last week of his life, the disease provided the added indignity of a stroke that robbed him of his speech. As his family visited his bedside, his eyes would moisten with frustration and grief as he tried in vain to speak to these people that he loved so dearly. On the father's last day alive, the attending physician called in the family. The daughter and her two brothers had gathered in the father's room. And with strength fading, the father motioned to his son that he wanted a glass of water. The son hurried to the sink, and he returned with a full glass of water, which he held towards his father's lips. But the old man pushed the glass away and moved his fingers from the glass toward his son as if to say, "You drink it." Hesitant and uncertain, the son lifted the glass to his lips, and he drank from it. And then the father, with his good hand, motioned to the daughter, indicating that she should drink some too. Sensing what the father wanted, the son passed the glass to his sister and she drank. Then the father pointed towards the other son, and the daughter realized what was happening, and she said, "He is serving us communion." And there in the face of death, their father summoned a sacramental water glass to share with those that he loved the most the feast of life. And there, in a wordless act of worship and shared love, the promise of the resurrection came home to that family. Friends, the Emmaus story awakens us. It reminds us that Christ's living presence is still with us now, empowering us for living and loving and sharing and serving with any and all who will listen. Such an awakening, the awareness of Jesus' living presence, sends us running from the table into life, everlasting life that begins now, to go and tell and show others so that they can join in the Easter journey as sojourners of truth, living with the living and loving Jesus, following him into life and serving him among both friends and strangers in the world today and tomorrow and forevermore. And again I say, how good of God. Alleluia. Amen.